everyone, welcome to InnerByte, brought to you by The Citizens, where we explore all things data, democracy, and disinformation in bite-sized explainers, broken down and simplified just for you. Today, I'm joined by Bran Rankin, who is a researcher and campaigner with Corporate Europe Observatory, a group working to expose the lobbying efforts in EU policymaking. Recently, they released an extensive research report on how big tech giants have been undermining the EU AI Act. In short, the EU's AI Act has been a legislative effort to rein in on the developments in artificial intelligence. But while big tech bros have been going around making headlines about the need to regulate AI, behind the scenes, they have also been putting all their might to influence the Act in order to water down the legislation. Let's hear more from Bram about the report and its findings to see what big tech has been actually up to. Hi, Bram. Thanks for joining me today. I think let's start with the basics. Can you give us a quick gist of the EU AI Act, what stage it is at, and also what was it initially sort of drafted to do and what does it aim to do, really?
Yeah, so at the moment, the AI Act is really in the last stage of decision making, which is the EU trilogues, which is kind of the stage where the various different institutions, the parliament, the member states, and the EU Commission try to find a compromise between the different positions they've taken and then come to a sort of final text. But of course, the AI Act has a very long history, which goes back to 2019, when the Commission started considering, okay, there is this new technology and we need to regulate it because there are certain risks involved. And that first step was already a quite problematic step because the Commission convened an expert group. But the problem was that industry was already heavily dominant in that expert group. So there was a lot of criticism also from within that expert group. Several members were very, very critical of the work being done because there was a very strong focus on self-assessments and voluntary commitments pushed by industry. And industry members of that group heavily pushed against any red lines on certain technologies. So then I moved to the Commission and they came with a proposal. And the proposal was what is being called risk-based. So it means that some uses of AI will be prohibited. So, for example, social scoring will be prohibited. It's not allowed. And then, but that's really like a small amount of uses is completely off the table. And then the next category is a higher risk category. And that is, for example, when AI is being used for purposes of employment, because we know there is a lot of risk involved when you use an AI system to decide who should be hired or to select candidates, and that the AI might be biased. For example, women or people of color might be discriminated against. So that's a higher risk category. In such a case, there are certain safety requirements to make sure that that if an AI system is used in certain contexts, that it doesn't discriminate, for example. But along, like in this whole process, suddenly there was the launch of ChatGPT, and ChatGPT is, well, there are so many names for it, but it's been called the General Purpose AI Foundation Model. Actually, I don't know what to call it anymore, but it's just a system which can be used for a lot of purposes. So from ranging from low risk to high risk, and other applications will be built on top of such on this model, which is a problem because the AI Act kind of had at its premise, we will look at a use of a specific system which is developed for that specific context. And now suddenly there was an AI system which could be used for so many contexts. So immediately there was strong pushback from big tech to regulate foundation models for general purpose AI. So
I mean, let's explore this a bit. Your report highlights that big tech was engaging and has been engaging in intense lobbying efforts to undermine regulation of what they're calling foundation models like ChatGPT, as you've pointed out. Mm-hmm. And because of sort of this risk-based system that they've created and these models not falling into one category as such, mm-hmm. Big tech has sort of pushed these lawmakers not to categorize it as high risk, as your report points out. And so in the end, what happened was instead of saying general purpose AI, they went for a terminology called foundation models, and that still isn't necessarily subject to regulation.
So the European Parliament indeed dropped general purpose AI from the high risk category because that was initially on the table. But then it came up with a new category, which they called foundation models. And what the European Parliament wanted to do was what I would call impose some due diligence measures on big tech, on big tech, on the developers of foundation models, which is like you're using all the data from the internet to power your systems. So at least do a quality check of the data so the AI system is not biased or doesn't discriminate. Do a fundamental rights assessment if you develop such a system. So that's like very, I would say it's quite basic. It's transparency measures. It's before you bring something on the market, you need to figure out what the risks are and mitigate those risks. So it's not saying, I wouldn't say it's a very strict piece of, or these requirements are very heavy.
As your report sort of highlights, this has been linked to the lobbying spend behind that big tech has pushed sort of, and how in crucial stages when this was being discussed, the spend went up. Could you sort of give us the headlines from your report on lobbying spend and how big tech specifically lobbied the EU Parliament to water down legislation?
So the tech sector in, as a whole spends 130 million euros a year, and that's up from 97 million a year 2 years ago, which is like, I think a 16% increase. So that's quite a lot in just 2 years' time. And the 97 million figure was already really high. Big tech's lobby spending is a big chunk of that number. So it's like for the big for GAFAM, Google, Amazon, Apple, Facebook, Microsoft. It's close to 30 million. So they have massive resources. And I think what we've been able to show through research is that those resources have only been going up. If you compare it with 10 years ago, these companies were spending still substantial sums of money, but it was more in the category of 400 or 500,000 euros. And now, like for example, Facebook is, in terms of lobbying spending, the biggest company in lobby spending in the EU. So these numbers have gone up really rapidly, and to an extent we haven't seen, or we have rarely seen before. Mm-hmm. And that also reflects in the access they have to the institutions. So for example, we looked at meetings with members of parliament in periods of 2021, 2022, and 56% of meetings were with industry, which was more than half, which is still a lot because the parliament is still like the most accessible institution for NGOs, citizens, and other stakeholders. But we saw that in 2023, those numbers went even up further to 66%. So showing that big tech was able to massively ramp up its lobbying, way more than other actors or stakeholders were able to do. And in this way, we're able to capture policymaking. And I would say that the parliament is, although they gave in on certain crucial points, I would say, they still push through with regulating foundation models, despite the heavy lobby presence.
But what you're saying is not as strict as it could have been.
It's not as strict as it, yeah, exactly. And I think what parliament really did wrong was they weakened the high risk category massively, like to a really big extent. And I think that's already a big loss.
Like you've you pointed out, in sort of the EU lawmaking process, there are really three bodies on there. There is the Council, the Parliament, and the Commission. We spoke about the Parliament and how big tech had great access to people in the Parliament, how there was great lobbying spend behind it. But their efforts did not stop there, because your report also points out how they had access to the EU Commission as well. And mm-hmm. they were the top lobbyists in the EU Commission. All top five lobbyists in the EU Commission, according to your report, are big tech companies, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what we see in the numbers is that once the European Parliament put its proposal on the table, attention from industry really shifted. And we can see a spike in the number of meetings starting from, I think, May onwards. The number of meetings on AI with high-level EU officials really went up massively. And that push was really because of industry lobbying. So, for example, we see the CEO of OpenAI coming to Europe. We see the CEO of Google, Microsoft, all coming to Europe, having these very high-level meetings with EU commissioners, with Macron, with Chancellor, Prime Minister in Spain. If we look at the meetings the Commission had, that was to a large extent with big tech. And if you look at the numbers, 86% of meetings of the EU Commission was with industry. So that's a very, very captured process. There were almost no NGOs having meetings with high-level EU officials, which is really, really problematic on such an important piece of legislation.
Mm. As you've said, so OpenAI CEO Sam Altman, he had access to the Commission, and he kind of also threatened at one point that they would stop operating in the EU and then retracted it.
I think that was on purpose, being very ambiguous about it. Not threatening, but not threatening. I think that was, I don't know. Yeah, it's difficult to know somebody's intention, but it's, to me, it seemed intentional.
Mm. And even sort of Google's CEO, I mean, there has been a general trend of them pushing for sort of voluntary commitments as opposed to what can be enforced by law, right?
Yeah.
So what now? Right now, we are at a stage where the Council, the Parliament, and I guess the Commission have to come to some sort of consensus together and give out sort of, the act, the final act. What do you think is going to happen? And is there any hope in strengthening some of the measures, or is it already too late?
So it's becoming complete train wreck. So initially, everybody thought agreement is within grasp. It's not gonna be a tough trialogue process, and that is, in the end, it's astonishing what has happened, because in October everybody thought within the month we have an AI act, and then suddenly you have France, Germany, and Italy changing position. There was a compromise in the making on regulating foundation models, which was watering down the parliament position, but still there was going to be some kind of requirements. And then these three member states completely changed, completely aligned with big tech's position, saying, no, we do not want any requirements on foundation models, none at all. And I've recently released a non-paper, the three of them, the three member states, basically pushing for voluntary commitments. So in a way, things have come full circle. We the commission set out with an expert group where industry members were calling for voluntary commitments. We're at the end of this stage, so many years later, and yeah, the risk is we will end up again with voluntary commitments. Yeah, I think some people have been saying that the AI Act is really in danger now, and it might not even happen. It's difficult to say. I think some kind of compromise will be reached, but it will be a very watered down text.
Is there anything sort of I missed that you'd like to add?
I think we'll mainly focus on big tech, which I think is good. But I think what really changed matters was that some European companies got involved in, and they, so there is Mistral AI in France, there is Alpha Alep in Germany. And these are really small companies, but they have been very actively, they have been very effective in pushing their member states, so France and Germany, in blocking the negotiations. So Mistral AI, it's not a big company, it's a couple of tens of people, but they have the ambition to build the European alternative to OpenAI. And for some kind of reason, that has really, they have struck a chord with Macron and in Germany, it's the Minister of Economy, Habeck, in pushing back against, against regulating foundation models under the premise of you're going to kill European companies, you're going to kill European innovation. But what they're actually doing is giving big tech a free card. What they're actually going to do is not putting any obligations on the big tech companies, which are already developing these systems, which are already bringing them on the market, and which is likely to become a very monopolized market dominated by the same companies as we've seen before.
Thank you, Bram. Thank you so much for talking to me.